All right, let's do this. Get set.
Headed for the open door.
This is Running Flat Radio with Chris Uzinski on AM 800 CKLW, the information station. Running Flat Radio is a paid program on AM 800.
And welcome to Running Flat Radio. Chris Uzinski, Kelly Steele from the Windsor Star. It's another amazing weekend that we went through in running. Le Chocolat is the first run, and it's in the books.
And it was a great day for it.
Oh, it was a beautiful day to be running in Windsor, and what a fantastic event. We had 2,200 runners running up and down Riverside Drive, and the response has just been overwhelming in regards to just the amount of people and just being able to run on Riverside Drive. So now we're gonna, now that we've actually got that completed, now we're gonna go back to the city and work on the improvements that we want to get worked on in regards to the course layout and mm-hmm. you know, not having the loop and being able to kind of really expand the size and the scope of that run.
Yeah, I know there's some complaints about you know, the double loop course. Myself, I loved it. I know a ton of runners in Windsor Essex County, so it was an awesome opportunity for me to constantly be seeing people, to cheer them on as they're passing me by, to high five them. Personally, I love that, you know, we kind of passed them, you know, 2-3 times. It was a great idea.
Yeah, and the weather was perfect. It held out. We had this really weird windstorm.
Oh my gosh. And right at the finish line.
Yeah, right near the end of the day. But yeah, and I still need to recover myself. I mean, I sound a little tired.
Yeah.
I'm a lot tired. You know, going into that event, we're probably two or three days sleepless going into the event. And then I went on a color run tour with the guys from the color run. So I just came into town from up northern Ontario or whatever. So,
you know, the only complaint I'm hearing from some women about the race, eh? We needed the temperatures to be about 90 so the firefighters would have to take their shirts off. If we're going to have firefighters on the course, we need them with their shirts off.
You can't make everybody happy, Kelly. I'm slowly learning that mantra, but yeah, absolutely. So wonderful event, and special thanks to the 100 volunteers, because you need 100 volunteers to pull an event of that size off.
Absolutely.
Even with it being a 4K kind of scope on course, but you know, between that and the three musical acts that we had on the course,
the acts on the course were awesome. That one DJ guy,
when
you hit his area, you just kind of got that extra bounce in your step. It was really nice.
Yeah, he was actually really using records, and every 60 seconds would change out the song until the windstorm hit, where he started losing vinyl. He started flying off his turntables. So he said, okay, he went back to his iPad. But yeah, true story. And really great support from the musical community at this event in the run. So yeah, can't complain at all about the entertainment. They were awesome.
It was very good.
So lots of really exciting news happening in running. On the 27th of this month, we have Jeff Galloway joining us. And so it's finally confirmed. We've kind of rescheduled Jeff. And that in itself is just really exciting to me, because what Jeff has been able to do to bring new runners into our sport is just as important to what the Color Run is doing now.
Well, absolutely.
And all the fun runs are doing, where he's been able to develop systems to make it simple for people to run longer distances, to recover faster, and to actually be able to endure those distances and times.
Well, the whole 10-in-1, I think I've said it to you before, a lot of people do it, but I don't think they realize that it was Jeff Galloway who kind of came up with the idea. And for people who don't know, the whole concept that he has is you run for 10 minutes, you walk for 1 minute, and you do that over the course of a marathon, a half marathon. And, you know, for a lot of people, it's a great way to make those longer distances doable.
And it's okay to walk.
Absolutely.
But if you're going to walk, walk to the side.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
So, you know, we've got the first big race of the season locally out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's important to kind of even debrief some of the new runners, what they should be expecting on the course and what they shouldn't be expecting on a course.
Well, yeah, race etiquette. You know, race etiquette is so important. And it starts right at the start line. You know, there with, you know, these races where there isn't corrals, the whole way the start line is designed is for fast runners at the start and the slower runners at the back. And it's like that for a reason. It's not because, you know, we want to put slower runners at the back because they're any less important to the race. It's because they're going to get trampled. And right. every single race, it seems like the slower racers will line themselves up at the front and they'll go two or three abreast and people are running into the back of them. It you know, I think people just have to understand, yeah, you know what, it's okay to go at the back of the crawl. And I'm still, because really in the races that are chipped, even if you're a dead last, coming across that start line, your race starts once you hit the mat. So it doesn't really matter where you are in that corral.
It doesn't. And what's important about that is Michael will actually talk about that, about the Vancouver Marathon, where the chip time was the winning time.
Really?
Yeah. So we're gonna touch upon that in a minute. Yeah. But I think what's also important is when you're on the course, you have to be respectful the same way. Mm-hmm. Now, we had a lot of walkers in the 5K. We yep. had a lot of walkers in the 10K. And even though we had four lanes of road, mm-hmm. it was important to get the lead quick runners of the 10K and the half marathon mm-hmm. through that course safely. Fortunately, we had a number of officials on bikes, so they were running interference, trying to move people off to the side to give us some room to get those lead runners through the area. The one thing that was important to note was a lot of people, more so than, because I spent the entire day on the course managing a turn, we're wearing headphones.
Yeah.
Now, I don't, as a race director, I do not ban headphones. I don't even try to even attempt to even do this. But the reality is, if someone's screaming at you from behind to get out of the way and you mm-hmm. don't hear it, you got to do something about that. And whether it's you got to turn the tunes down a bit or maybe go to another headphone manufacturer that allows some more sound into your ears. But something has to be done regarding that. And it was a big issue because we tried to get the lead half marathoner through a whole series of walkers and runners. Mm-hmm. And it was a very, very difficult time doing that.
Well, those people with the headphones on, their music is cranking. I was next to this one girl. I could hear the words. I could hear every part of that song. There's no way she could hear anything that was going on around her. Which, you know, don't even get me started on headphones, but I don't understand why you sign up for a race and then put headphones on and tune out everything and everyone around you. It makes no sense.
Because you train that way. And I think it's just, we train that way, so we're going to run that way in events. And maybe we need to talk about that some more. Maybe we need to talk to a number of different runners, some who run with headphones, some who don't. And maybe we need to kind of deep dive that in a future show and really kind of get to the bottom of that. Because we really noticed that this year, over any of the races we've ever done, that it was very prominent on the course.
Was
headphones, lots of headphones, more so than we've ever seen before.
And you know, when you're saying about your lead, I was wondering, because where I was, I could see the people start coming, mm-hmm. and you know, now that lead of the half, he's come having to deal with all the people who are walking at the back, and that's a bit of a challenge.
And the issue is that we don't have the ability to yell at them from the position that we're in from behind, because they're not hearing us. So what we have to do is get a chase on and be able to have them come around the front and almost like wave at them like hey, get out of the way,
which is ridiculous,
and move them over. So and a lot of the runners are actually, even the walkers were four or five abreast.
Yep.
And that was an issue too that we had at one of the turns. So.
And that's the thing. Okay, walkers are more than welcomed. In fact, I love seeing walkers out on the course. But really, the general rule of thumb is walkers need to stay to the right. You know, if you want to walk four and five abreast, you need to scoot over. The other thing is, you know, other rules of the road. When you hit a water stop, if you're not planning on going in for water, get out of the line. Get over to the right if the water stops on the left. And in my pace group, I always yell, if you're not getting water, I want to see you off on the other side. Because if not, you see, during a race, those are major collisions when people are coming in for water and banging into people. I often say to people in my group, too, if you're passing someone, yell on your left, which, again, if these people are wearing headphones, they're not hearing any of this stuff.
Etiquette.
Etiquette is so important out there.
Runner etiquette. So one of the things that that I found was really unique was the ability that wind has on runners, especially that late in the game.
Mm-hmm.
And it was probably around the 2-hour, 30-minute mark of the event, or 2 1/4, that the wind just picked up. And mm-hmm. like we were losing tenths at the finish line.
I saw the fences blowing over and everything.
It was incredible the way that the wind changed on us and the direction changed on us. But you know, overall, awesome event. The volunteers were fantastic.
The folks were amazing. Walkerville
and the citizens of Windsor were really appreciative of it. So thanks to everyone out there. The Pacerettes were great. You know, Jim and we'll get Jim on. And he was wearing a skirt, which was really disturbing to me.
I know.
Jim, it's very disturbing when you wear a skirt to me.
I posted a picture on my Facebook and I don't know how many people said, "Is that guy wearing a skirt?"
Yeah. Did you wear a GoPro?
I did. And I had a little incident with my GoPro.
So we shot a video because we shoot videos for all of our runs. And it's really important that we be able to promote our runs. And the guy who was shooting the video asked you to wear a GoPro.
Yes, he did.
To kind of shoot.
Yes, he did.
How did that go?
Yeah, it didn't go so well. Well, to be quite honest, it went really well. In fact, the GoPro was so comfortable, I actually forgot I had it on.
Really?
Yep. And it wasn't until I was a mile from the finish line that I looked down and I went, "Oh, I'm wearing the GoPro." And then I went, "Oh my God, I went to the washroom and I forgot I had the GoPro on." So I handed the GoPro over to the guy at the finish line and my face was red and I said, "You have to scoot over that area. I went to the washroom." And he's laughing. I go, "No, I'm serious. You're going to see my pink skirt drop down and you need to scoot over it." I swear.
Oh, welcome to Running Flat Radio on AM 800 CKLW. We'll be right back after these messages.
Mike K. Cook and Lisa Williams.
Every morning.
My favorite morning show.
The Morning Drive.
On the next show, how long does it take you to get ready in the morning? A recent survey said that both men and women take the same amount of time. Agree or disagree? Tune in at 6:20 when we ask you about your morning routine.
And at 8:20, a conversation with Olympic boxer Mary Spencer. She is being honored for her achievement in sports. We'll get the details of her new award.
The Morning Drive, weekday mornings 5 till 9 on AM 800.
Subway restaurants present the Fresh Family Dinner Deal.
Oh, Dad, I invited Matt over for dinner, but, you know, he didn't want to ditch his brother. And, well, you know, his brother ran into Mike and invited him, too. And, well, Mike was with the guys from soccer, so, you know?
I know. We're going to have a full house for dinner tonight.
You got it!
After 4 p.m. and for a limited time, Subway has dinner solved with the Fresh Family Dinner Deal. Just $22 for any 2-foot-longs, plus any 2 6-inch sandwiches, plus 2 soups or 12 cookies. Subway, eat fresh. Prices and participation may vary. Additional charge for extras.
How Bell makes enjoying the internet better. Introducing the option of unlimited internet usage. Download and upload as much as you want without having to worry about your usage again for just $10 extra per month in a 3-service bundle, including TV. Plus, with Bell Internet, you can enjoy the best internet combo with great speeds, Wi-Fi at home included at no charge, and the best protection on the market. Bell, enjoying the internet just got better. For details, visit a Bell store near you.
Tecumseh Mall wants to help you show Mom how much she's loved. Submit your favorite photo memory of Mom for your chance to win a Mother's Day pamper package valued at $500. Visit Facebook.com/Tecumseh Mall Windsor to enter. Tecumseh Mall, it's right here.
Now the forecast from the AM 800 Weather Center. Tonight clear with increasing clouds after midnight, a low of 9. Tomorrow a few showers ending in the afternoon, then cloudy, a 40% chance of showers with a risk of a thunderstorm in the afternoon, and a high of 14. Wednesday night cloudy, a 40% chance of showers, risk of a thunderstorm, and a low of 11. Thursday, a mix of sun and cloud, a 40% chance of showers, and a high of 26. Friday, cloudy, a 60% chance of showers or thunderstorms, and a high of 22. Once again, clear tonight with increasing clouds after midnight and a low of 9.
This kitchen floor drives me nuts. It's seen better days. Why does it never look clean? It doesn't matter what I do.
Spring cleaning is easy with new flooring from Gabriel's Brand Source Home Furnishing because they take care of you. Whether it's a new cork floor or a luxury vinyl tile for the kitchen, their beautiful guarantee promises that you will love your new floor or they'll replace it free. Staff installation experts and free estimates get the job done right, guaranteed. From inspiration to installation, trust Gabriel's Brand Source Home Furnishings in Uptown Leamington. Visit Gabriels.com.
Facebook, Twitter, the Internet. Oh, and you can find us on your car radio, too. AM 800 CKLW, the information station.
Looking to start running? Strap on a pair of comfortable shoes. Now put one foot in front of the other and keep going. It's that easy. This is Running Flat Radio on AM 800.
And welcome back to Running Flat Radio. Chris Uzinski, Kelly Steele. So what we're going to do today really quickly, we're going to go into Song of the Week. But before we do that, we're going to have Darcy Haggath also on with us today from Infinite Nutrition. We're going to talk about hydration. Hydration is going to be the topic today to talk about with all the runners out there now that it's going to go to like almost 80 degrees later on this week. And we're going to have Michael Doyle on from Canadian Running Magazine. But before we get to all that, the Song of the Week this week is from Capital Cities. Called One More Minute by Capital Cities. One More Minute by Capital Cities.
That's a catchy song.
Catchy tune. Make you run right from the driveway down the road and hopefully to a new PB. Joining us in studio, we're really lucky to have. First off, he's a dear, dear old friend of mine. I've known Darcy for a number of years. He actually ran every single one of the ultra marathons that I did with the World Alzheimer's Day. Run for Heroes Marathon early races, yeah, that we did, and I'll never ever forget that, you know, all the support that he's given me over so many years. Darcy is the CEO, president of Infinite Canada,
Nutrition Canada,
yeah, and he's here to really talk to us about why is it so important to hydrate.
Mm-hmm.
So Darcy, why can't I just run without drinking anything?
Well, you can. You just might not feel that good. You might not perform, get through the run. And how you feel the next day, hydration is so important in making sure you recover fully. So it's hard for me to talk about, hydration without fueling, because they really go together. So,
Darcy, a lot of people always wonder, how do you know when you should drink water or drink Infinite or just hydrate?
Yeah, our body is a pretty neat system. You're thirsty, you drink.
Mm-hmm.
When we're running, if we wait till we're thirsty, we're probably a little bit behind. So strategy that, I recommend is at 15 minutes, you're taking in, about 200 mils mm-hmm. of water, every 15 minutes. People are very surprised to learn how much they actually, lose in an hour of running, endurance exercise. So,
I typically, let's talk for new runners.
Yeah.
When I go out running, I find that, your sinuses dry out, your back of the throat dries out, and that kind of forces you to have, the sip.
Mm-hmm.
And you almost kind of build a cadence as you're running along. You get dry again, you take a sip, and next thing you know, like a half hour, an hour goes by, 45 minutes go by, whatever the distance you're traveling. And so, are those the telltale signs for people that they need to be drinking?
Yeah, like we said, you're going to feel thirsty. If you get to that point, it's actually a little bit too late. A good strategy is just knowing what you lose. You should do a fluid loss assessment. Even new runners, if you, an average fluid loss will vary anywhere from 800 to a really heavy sweater to 1200 mils. So people are often surprised to hear they lose that much.
But there's dew point, there's temperature. There's so many factors in hydration, and hydration's like this crazy. Eddie Whitlock. You talk to Eddie Whitlock. What do you take? Does he take goo? No.
Yeah.
He has a little sip of water halfway through a marathon, and then he finishes it off.
Yeah.
He's an anomaly. He is an incredible athlete at the age of, what is he, 82 now? or 83?
I think he's at least that. My first marathon, Forest City Marathon, I watched this, you know, gazelle-like man run by me. You know, he was going the other way, of course, and I was just absolutely amazed, and he was near 80 then, and that's probably 8-10 years ago. So,
but he's not the average person. The average person needs to be drinking. They need to be. They also need to be hydrating. They also need to be working with different nutrients as well.
Yeah.
But Darcy, I have a lot of people, sorry, Chris, that say to me, "Well, you know what? I don't want to drink because I don't want to have to go to the washroom."
Yeah.
What do you say to those people?
It's a fine line. You know, so in a training environment, you know, I look at them differently. So when you when you go into a race situation, you can actually take a few shortcuts because it's all about performance for that race. If you're looking for a PB, whatever it is that you're doing, you've got your eye on that clock. Mm-hmm. I think you can take a few liberties with it. But in the training, you know, take the right amount of fluids in, the right nutrition in, take it every 15 minutes, because what you're doing is you're building your system. You're going to recover better if you do that. Mm-hmm. You're going to be ready for, you know, taking on something tomorrow. And, you know, if you keep on doing that, you'll be ratcheting your performance up and getting stronger and stronger. So absolutely. In that race situation, I think you're right. You know, you can run a little bit, you know, dehydrated. I would never promote ever getting more than 2% dehydrated. You know, that's, you know, the theory says once you go beyond 2% dehydration, now you're affecting, you know, your muscle performance and, you know, the way your cardiovascular system works. So,
and what's going to start to happen then?
You're just not going to run as fluid. Like, you know, you just, it's hard to explain. I've been in, I've done a few Ironmans, and one of them, you know, I was, you know, severely dehydrated, and I could run, mm-hmm. and I did, but I had some goals to be, you know, running a lot faster than I was, and I'm looking down at my clock, and I feel okay, but I'm just not going, you know, so it's hard for me to pinpoint exactly, you know, the feeling. It's like there's a blanket over me, mm-hmm. and I knew just from, you know, the data I was getting that I wasn't running as fast as I was trained to go, so.
So that's under, you can overhydrate.
Absolutely, yeah. And there's rare occasions, you know, hyponatremia that, you know, if you're only taking water in a training situation or on a race situation, especially on really hot days,
yep.
You know, you take, you know, if you're taking a liter of water during, and even more, sometimes when it gets really hot, you just throw it back, without any electrolytes in there, you know, you're throwing your body out of kilter, your electrolyte levels deplete, and it impairs, you know, kidney function, heart function, liver function. It's hard on all of those systems, you know, and there's certainly been occasions, I'm sure the listeners have, you know, heard of people dying, mm-hmm. you know, from that scenario. So
from over-drinking water.
For over-drinking water.
That's correct.
So the safe bet is, you know, take a drink that's got electrolytes, you know, some calories in it as well.
Darce, can you hold on through the news break with us?
Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome. We'll be right back. You're listening to Running Flat Radio on AM 800 CKLW.
AM 800.
I listen to you guys every day faithfully because honestly and truly, AM 800 is the best source of news and talk for Windsor.
CKLW.
Want to get more out of your savings? Choose one of the following options. A, a good interest rate, or B, a great interest rate. Seeing as this is the radio and I can't hear you, I'm going to assume you said B, a great interest rate. And right now, when you bank with Tangerine, you can get a great interest rate of 2.5% on all new deposits to your savings account until July 31st. It's that simple. Details at tangerine.ca/great rate. Tangerine. Forward banking.
Hi, Brian Baumler here, inviting you to the Lowe's anniversary event on now. Save big with amazing limited time deals like $300 off a DeWalt 12-inch double bevel sliding miter saw. Only $398. Wow, I might have to pick up one of those. And Scott's Naturescapes mulch, now half price at just $349 per 56.6 liter bag. Plus, buy one, get one free on Para Lifestyle's 3.7 liter interior paint. Now through May 7th. Valid in Canada only while quantities last. Details in store. Lowe's, never stop improving.
It's 7:30.
From the AM 800 News Center, your number one news source in Windsor, Essex, an information update with Paul Pedro.
A man has been arrested after a threat today at Assumption High School in West Windsor around noon. A man who was not a student was arrested outside the school and a knife was seized. LaSalle police investigators say the 911 distress calls April 30th are a hoax. Officers were called to the area of Morton Drive just west of Malden for a 911 no voice contact. A total of 42 calls were received in the early morning of April 30th. And Fiat Chrysler will continue making the Windsor-built town and country minivan, but the Dodge Grand Caravan will stop production in 2016. Chrysler brand president Al Gardner says Dodge will become the performance division and Chrysler will become the mainstream brand. It's unclear if there will be any layoffs in Windsor due to the change. AM 800 Sports, the Tigers are home to Houston again tonight. The Jays are in Philly, and Boston's trying to go up 2-1 in their series in Montreal tonight. Right now, scoreless about halfway through the first period. From the AM 800 Center, tonight clear with increasing clouds after midnight, a low of 9. Tomorrow, a few showers ending in the afternoon, then cloudy, a 40% chance of showers with a risk of a thunderstorm in the afternoon, and high of 14. Wednesday night, cloudy, 40% chance of showers, a risk of a thunderstorm, and a low of 11. Right now in Windsor, Essex, 14 Celsius. That is 57 Fahrenheit. I'm Paul Pedro, AM 800 News.
When you're able to focus your mind and your body, anything is possible.
From 5K runs to half marathons
to the full 26.2 miles.
We talk about it all on Running Flat Radio, Tuesdays, 7 till 8 on AM 800.
Welcome to Running Flat Radio. It's Chris Yuzinski and Kelly Steele in studio, and also in studio with us is Darcy Haggith, the CEO, President of Infinite Nutrition Canada. We were talking about hydration, how important it is now that we're actually getting into the 80-degree weather and everyone's running. But what is hydration? We're talking water? Is beer hydration? I mean, we talked about the beer mile last week.
Yeah, the record was just broke. Did you see that?
but that's not hydration. What we're talking about for people out there running, we're talking water. We're talking about
It's not effective hydration for sure. Water alone's not enough. I think Gatorade does a good example, they show that in all their commercials. What you need to be doing is taking some electrolytes with that water and some calories. So that's your complete fuel.
And what's an electrolyte? Let's kind of boil it all down, Darcy.
Electrolytes, there's four electrolytes. There's sodium chloride, salt, potassium, magnesium, and calcium. So when we perspire, sweat, we lose electrolytes. If you've been out in the sun, on those long runs that we've done together, you get a crustiness on your skin. And that's the salt that's coming out, the electrolytes that are coming out of your system as you sweat, they'll be deposited on your skin. That what we lose there, we must replace for our body to function properly.
Now, how do you know if you should be going with your product Infinite or you should be going with water? Does it matter?
Right off the bat, I would say, if you're in endurance sports, you shouldn't be just using water. Two reasons. You're not going to perform, as well as you can for that given run, especially when you get up over 60 minutes. If you're getting into the longer stuff, you have to be taking some electrolytes in there and some fuel. And, you're also doing it for recovery as well. What we say, like to say, is that your recovery starts while you're training. Mm-hmm. So when I talked earlier about the training runs, make sure you're fueling every 15 minutes, like you're going for 5-6 hours, even though you're only going for an hour or two. Fuel, like you're going for the long haul. Don't get to a point at the run where you're running on empty, you're running on fumes, because the recovery process then is a lot more difficult. The hole is just too deep.
Now, what's the difference between your product and, say, like Gatorade? Is there a big difference?
A couple of major differences. The raw materials that we use, we work with a lot of Canadian Olympic athletes, some of the best athletes in the world. Our raw materials are the best there are. So our protein, the electrolytes we use three different carbohydrates. They're the best you can get. So that's the starting place. But what differentiates Infinite from any other company is that we're a custom company. So we make custom blends for sports. So we have different running blends for different distances. We have hockey blends, swimming blends, whatever the sport, we will tailor you know, a product to meet the needs of that given sport, because there's no two sports out there that are really exactly the same and require the same fuel. The other cool thing is that we'll actually work with individual athletes. We'll do some fluid loss assessment, you know, salt composition, what they're training for, intensity, duration, and we'll make a drink that's tuned to that athlete for that sport exactly.
That's very cool.
How important is content? So, you know, if you go to the grocery store and you buy Powerade or Gatorade off the shelf, and you throw that in and you go for your 100-mile bike ride, or you're going to go for your hour or your long run, whatever it may be. And so we talked about the content is what helps you in your recovery. So how important is the content and what's in there in aiding your recovery on how you feel the next morning or even the day after that in regards to, you know, just the lactic acid and the sore muscles and just the whole recovery process?
Yeah, I think some of the commodity type products, so, you know, you mentioned a couple of them, you know, they're almost all sugar. So there's electrolytes in there, which is good, but they're, you know, predominantly sugar. What we bring to the table is maltodextrin. Maltodextrin's not a sugar, it's another source of carbohydrates. The nice benefit of that is it's not super sweet either. So those that fuel strategy, hitting it from a couple different carbohydrates, three different carbohydrates, is much more effective at keeping your glycogen stores at the level you need during the run. And certainly after, if you're dealing with a recovery product, it stimulates the glycogen synthesis, which we need to do to recover.
That's really interesting, because I remember a couple years ago, remember when the Gatorade came out and they started saying, you know, how it was full of all the sugar and blah, blah, blah. And I think at that point, I think a lot of athletes pulled back on the Gatorade and focused a little more on water, because they were worried, because the calories and everything else in bottle of Gatorade was crazy. And it's interesting now to talk to you and find out that your product, you're not, you know, it's not full of all this calories and all this other stuff.
Yeah. It's only like, we're all about fuel. You know, if you're hitting it with three different carbohydrates, if you're going longer, you should introduce protein into the equation. Mm-hmm. We want to get you through the run, any endurance event, but we want to get you fully recovered so you can do it again tomorrow.
Yep.
So you and I have sat down for a number of years.
Yeah.
And we've worked on Infinite on our course.
Yeah.
And I think, and we just launched this last weekend at Le Chocolat at the half, the 5 and the 10, everyone had a chance to have this product. And we also sampled it at Race Kit Pickup. I think it is one of the most amazing products I have ever seen. And so Running Flat Fuel, RF Fuel, has this most amazing taste. It is a lemon taste product. It's pink lemonade. And it is red. Well, let's talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, I mean, one of the challenges that we've had in supporting races is, as I said, we believe in just fuel. So there's no artificial flavors. There's no color, because they don't bring anything to the table nutritionally. So our product is, you know, crystal clear, which poses some problems on the race course, where, you know, people inadvertently, they think it's water and they throw it on themselves. So there's a bit of sugar, maltodextrin, that's pretty nasty, you know, during the race. So we had to fix that. So when you and I sat down, it had to be colored, which was a challenge for me, because I didn't want to compromise on what we believe in. But we had been working with beetroot. Beetroot is, you know, known to be very effective in endurance sports, and we had been working with this for a little bit. So what we decided to do is, you know, add some beetroot powder to the blend, the lemon blend, and we were actually very surprised at the flavor. You know, it's, you know, as you said, it's really hit the mark. The lemon, it's an all-natural flavor, citrus-based, obviously, and then that, for whatever reason, the beetroot just fills
it. Tastes awesome.
Yeah, it fills the flavor out. We're really thrilled with the way it turned out.
Well, I have to admit, like, typically what I do in a race is I always at the water stop, I'll grab my water first, or grab my Gatorade first, or Perform, or whatever it is on the course, and then my water. Because usually if it's Perform or Powerade or Gatorade, it leaves such a sugary bad taste in my mouth. I always have to chase it with water. And quite honestly, I tried yours on the course, and it left no bad taste in my mouth. I didn't need to chase it with water, which was kind of nice because now I can hit the water stop and have one glass instead of having to have a couple.
I find that most marathons and most races in North America over-concentrate that side of the of the tables, where they're just way too sweet. I would never run with anything that sweet.
Yep.
Yeah. So why would I take it on race day like that? And I think that's a major issue on most courses at water tables and aid stations. But yeah, no, it's not too sweet, and it goes down really easy. And I love the product.
To hear that.
And I got to tell you, the response that we had from runners on the course and at the race kit pickup was overwhelming. So really proud to have the product on the course. We're gonna continue it all year long. We'll also be able to, during registration processes, when you're registering for various races, be able to actually purchase some, because you can train with it before you actually race with it.
Now, where would someone get that from?
Well, either through Race Roster, or we're talking as well at Infinite, and it's Infinite.
InfiniteCanada.com. We actually just launched our new website, so a lot easier to navigate. So we've been at this since 2006, and it was time for a refresh on the web. So that's just been launched. So InfiniteCanada.com.
And you have a store in Windsor as well?
Yeah, the neat thing here is on the weekend, we were literally, you know, a kilometer away from where the race was. That we manufacture completely here in Canada, which is important. We're really proud to be Canadian and be, you know, proud to be fueling so many Canadian elite athletes.
Darce, quickly in the next, you know, 60 seconds while we have you here, where do you see the art of hydration? And I say it's an art because it's always a balancing act, no matter who you are and where you're running. Where do you see all that going in the next year, 6 years, decade? Yeah,
you know what? I think physiological perspective, we're not going to change. You know, the human body's not going to evolve. Nutrition is not rocket science at all. So it's really about understanding what your body needs are. You know, working with a company, you know, that can make a drink that is easy drinking. You mentioned jet fuel is easy drinking. It's easy drinking because it's blended to a concentration that can be absorbed really rapidly into your system. I think what will change is people will become more and more educated about what's necessary. And I think you'll see the marketplace change to be more like the model that that we have.
Awesome. Darce, great seeing you.
Good to be here. Thanks for having
me. And thanks for your support from the folks at Infinite. And you're listening to Running Flat Radio. We'll be right back after these messages.
Everybody's taking what they can, but they can't decide.
Some men are born leaders.
There comes a time in every man's life when he's got to make a decision.
Some have leadership thrust upon them.
Everything came down to that moment.
And then there's Todd.
I'm going to run out of money come fall, and I don't want to go work.
So if there's gold in Emnar Hills...
I mean, who wants to work the rest of their lives?
He's hoping to trip over some of it.
I don't want to work. I don't want to do nothing.
The series premiere of Fool's Gold.
We got to get this gold, and that's the bottom line.
Tuesday, May 13th at 8, only on Discovery.
Yeah, Todd sure knows how to give a speech.
At BrandSource Home Furnishings, we owners do everything to make you feel at home. What do we have right now? The BrandSource Owner Deal Event. Lots of amazing time-limited offers personally chosen by each store owner. A network of 150 stores working to bring you the best deals on a superb choice of quality merchandise. Limited time only, so come on over today.
At Gabriel BrandSource Home Furnishings and Flooring in Leamington, Beautyrest Recharge Comfort Top Queen Mattress save $300. Wow, dreaming of summer event savings of $300. BrandSource feels like home.
Now the forecast from the AM 800 Weather Center. Clear tonight with increasing clouds after midnight and a low of 9. Few showers tomorrow ending in the afternoon, then cloudy, a 40% chance of showers with a risk of a thunderstorm in the afternoon and a high of 14. Cloudy Wednesday night, a 40% chance of showers, a risk of a thunderstorm and a low of 11. Mix of sun and cloud Thursday, a 40% chance of showers and a high of 26. Once again tonight, clear with increasing clouds after midnight and a low of 9. Tomorrow, a few showers ending in the afternoon, then cloudy, a 40% chance of showers with a risk of a thunderstorm in the afternoon and a high of 14. 13.
If Tuesday night at Kelsey's were men's night, we'd have to spell out that you get two spiked snow cone bevies and two appies for $20. But fortunately, Tuesday night at Kelsey's is girls' night. And as a woman, you're more sophisticated than us. You can read between the lines. You can multitask. You get things. But most of all, you have intuition. So I don't even have to mention the deal at all. You look at me. I look at you. You turn around, pretend not to see me, and walk away. But instinctively, you know that on girls' night, you get two spiked snow cone bevies and two appies for $20. Kelsey's. Happiness always. See store for details, yo.
Looking to start running? Strap on a pair of comfortable shoes. Now put one foot in front of the other and keep going. It's that easy. This is Running Flat Radio on AM 800.
Welcome back to Running Flat Radio. Chris Yuzinski and Kelly Steele. And, you know, just before we bring him in, we got to play his new theme because it just rocks.
Running Flat Radio presents the Canadian Running Magazine Report on AM 800.
It sounds so professional.
Doesn't it? Our good friend, are you wearing like a fedora that says press on it? Michael Doyle from Canadian Running Magazine.
I wish I was wearing a fedora right now.
So how was Vancouver?
It was fantastic. Well, I mean, it rained, which is not surprising.
Not surprising.
Vancouver. Yeah, but it was a great event. Really exciting storylines. A local girl, 23-year-old named Kim Dirksen, won the marathon on the women's side in a really crazy time. She ran a 2:36.59. So, I mean, that puts her right up there in like the top four or five women in Canada right now. Out of nowhere, I mean, she kind of came right out of nowhere. I talked with her afterwards. She's the most affable, lovely young woman, and I think she's going to be a really big deal on the Canadian running scene in the next few years.
That's impressive, eh? That virtual no one comes out and runs a race like that with a killer time like that.
Yeah, she wrote an article for us actually last fall about how she had been suffering from iron deficiency. So she wrote a piece on how she got over her iron deficiency And I think that was kind of her turning the corner and really finding her next gear. And she's just trained so well since then. And it's a really exciting story. I'm really excited for her.
What's the Vancouver course like? Is it a good course?
It's a great course. It's probably, I would say, one of the prettiest courses in North America. You know, I mean, Vancouver is a pretty easy sell in terms of a destination race. And the only thing is it's quite challenging. It's a really hilly race. At one point, there's a 1K climb at like 9 or 10K in. So it's very challenging, but I think it's totally worthwhile. If you're looking for an exciting getaway race in the springtime for a marathon, it's a nice one.
So tell us about the winner and how he won.
Oh, that was for the Toronto Marathon that you're talking about.
Oh, was it Toronto's?
There was a weird thing that happened at Good Life in Toronto this weekend, which is that Brendan Kenny, who's a school teacher in Ontario, he technically won the race. He's a great runner. He's won it a couple of times before. He won it in a 2:26, very respectable time. But there was an Ethiopian runner named Dibaba that showed up late at the start line and ran through the entire field. He showed up like 4 or 5 minutes late. He ran through the entire field, caught up with Kenny about 10K in and passed him. But he wasted himself catching up. So he actually got passed about 25K later, about 25K later, and lost the race. But on the chip time, you know, there's the gun time and the chip time. And most of us, you know, mere mortals, we go with the chip time because it's the best time, right?
Like, of course.
From the time you cross the start line, time you cross the finish line. So this guy who came second place actually ran 90 seconds faster than the guy who came first place. So I don't know. I mean,
wow.
It's up for debate who won, right?
That is mind-boggling.
Yeah, I mean, the bottom line is you got to make it to the race on time, right? So. But that's kind of a neat little anomaly. You don't see that happening very often.
And this guy was obviously registered as an elite athlete.
You know what? His bib number was one of the last bib numbers. You know, it was 1995 or something, and I think there was only a couple of thousand people in the race. So I think he was a late entry. I'm not really sure if he was an elite runner or not. We haven't gotten the full story yet. We're trying to dig that up.
Got up late from a bender the night before. And just said, hey, I'm going to run a marathon. Let's go.
Exactly.
And away you go.
I'm not sure if that's what I would be thinking after a long night, but perhaps he was, yeah.
It's like the Seinfeld episode, right, where Jerry wakes the guy up late. That is unbelievable. And we're celebrating an anniversary today in running history.
That's right.
It's a huge day in running history. This marks the 60th anniversary of the first sub-4-minute mile run by British runner Roger Bannister. Previously to Bannister's 4-minute mile on a really no-name track in Oxford, England, in back in 1954, no one thought that running under 4 minutes per mile would ever be humanly possible. Kind of like today, how we sit around thinking about the sub-2-hour marathon. Mm. Although I fall into this cynical camp, but I don't think anyone's ever going to break 2 hours for marathon. But I guess back in 54, no one thought that Bannister would do it. He was a 25-year-old medical student at Oxford and, you know, living a very kind of, you know, low-key life. And nobody, you know, he was a great runner, but no one expected him to do that. And pretty exciting moment in history. One of the big moments in sports history, in my opinion.
Michael, what is the record at now?
It's much lower than that. It's in the, I don't know exactly. It's held by Hakim El-Garouj, and it was set maybe about 10 years ago. I think it's maybe about 20 seconds faster now.
Okay.
So, I mean, put that into context, right? At the time, nobody thought you could ever break 4 minutes, and now it's hacked down quite a bit lower. It's pretty amazing.
Any other exciting news in running?
Well, I mean, I think we're coming up to the Ottawa Marathon in the next couple of weeks. I think that's going to be a really big weekend. It's always a huge event in Canada.
That's the largest run in Canada.
It's a great weekend.
It's the largest marathon. And it's one of the largest events. The Sun Run a couple of weeks ago is the single largest event with almost 50,000 people. But Ottawa Race Weekend's about 35, 36. And it really just takes over that entire community for the entire weekend. They really get behind it. That's exciting. And then you got the 50th anniversary of the Calgary Marathon coming up in June. I'll be heading out to Whistler for the Whistler half. And then there's the Banff Marathon, which is actually the second inaugural Banff Marathon because they got canceled last year due to all that flooding last summer.
Right, right.
So that's happening for the first time. And they are boasting that they're going to have the most beautiful course in Canada, which I wouldn't be surprised if that was the case. So we're looking forward to going out to that one.
What else are you running?
What else am I running?
Yeah.
I'm going to the Cabot Trail Relay at the end of May. That's in Cape Breton.
How far is that?
And that's a 270K 24-hour relay on the Cabot Trail in Cape Breton. And I also am going to be coming over to your neck of the woods, I believe.
No, really?
I believe we were talking about doing that in June, the Pelly Island. I'm looking forward to that.
Excellent. You're going to be there?
The Pelly Island Winery Half Marathon on Pelly Island, Canada's most southern inhabited island.
I love the race.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. You know, that was on my radar last year, and it just didn't work out. And this year, I was so excited. My girlfriend has been talking about it for months. She's not a runner, but she said that she will run if we go to that event. So, you know, it's not a very hard sell to sell a race that finishes at a winery.
No, it is not. And the beauty of that event is it's very, very small in regards to the field size. We're around 365, I think, is the current number. It is semi sold out, only because it's not the issue of the course or the amount of runners. It's an issue of the liquor license at the end of the race and the party at the end of the race. These are the things that we have to worry about. So we have some extra spots actually in that race because we're not near the capacity of the liquor license with all the family members. So,
well, that's great. I'm really excited about it. I love these boutique races. I think that they're a really great sort of subsector of the running scene right now, and I'm really excited to go to your event because I think it's going to be quite a decadent, joyous affair.
Well, you know, it's going to be nice to finally meet you since I talk to you on the radio every week.
It'll be nice to finally meet you. I know. You know, the running community is so small because we kind of all know each other in some tangential way, but it's going to be a lot of fun to meet you guys in person for sure.
It's going to be great having you. And on that note, Michael, we wish you all the best, and we'll talk to you next week about you know, what's happening in Canada, because obviously we're right in that the height of the spring marathon season. So there's all kinds of stuff happening between, you know, Flying Pig and all the mm-hmm. marathons locally here, like in the Great Lakes region, but also in Europe as well. So Michael, have a great week, and we'll talk to you later.
Thanks so much, guys. I'll talk to you next week.
Okay, bye.
So Pelee Island, technically sold out, but there is a way of maybe adding a couple spots here and there if you desperately want to get onto Pelee Island and do this really incredible race.
I think I've told you what I like the most about it is, you know, you go to Leamington, you get on this ferry, and you go to this island in the middle of nowhere.
Yes.
And it you're not really that far away from home. But it kind of feels like you are, which I really like. It's a nice little escape. I always make it as a girl weekend away, and we just have a blast.
Yeah, and lots of people are escaping to the island that weekend, including people from London, England, mm-hmm. you know, Napa Valley, Texas, Florida. They're from all over the United States. That's flying cool. in. And I find that to be really amazing is when you're on the island and for some reason, things kind of slow down for us while we're there, right? Because everything's captured for us. So we're not as frantic as we usually are at events. So you can actually talk to people where they're from mm-hmm. and you know, talk about their running styles and why are they doing this. And they tell you all the stories because every runner has a story. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think I need to publish a book soon because every runner has a story. And I hear so many of these amazing sometimes wrenching stories, sometimes they're just incredibly inspiring stories. And that's really what this show is about. It's about getting new runners into what we do by inspiring through our actions and through stories of what's happening in our industry and just educating people because even though some people think it's a subculture running, it's not, it's mainstream. And the proof of that is the 2,200 people that showed up to Le Chocolat in really what is a market the size of Windsor. So it's really one of the things that we're going to continually work on this show. And not to forget that Jeff Galloway's on the 27th with us. On that note, thank you very much, Kelly, for joining
us.
Darcy Haggith for joining us this week, and Michael Doyle. This is Chris Yuzinski saying keep running.